Lesson number seven on our course, Foundations of Our Faith. Lesson number seven. This lesson is called The Will of God. The Will of God. A subtitle for this is, How Do I Find God's Will for My Life? How do I find God's will for my life? I'd like you to write somewhere on the top of your paper, this is not on your notes, Ephesians 5:17. Ephesians 5:17. This is definitely a verse that should be included in a lesson like this. Ephesians 5:17, let me read it for you. The Bible says, Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, according to that verse, what should we be able to understand? What the will of the Lord is. It doesn't sound like it's a mystery that just a few people discover in their lives, but God keeps it from everybody else. No, it says, be not unwise. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, if I approached you tonight and said, what is the will of the Lord for your life? Would you go speechless? Would your mind just draw a blank? Would you be able to mutter something out after about 5 minutes? Or do you know exactly what the will of the Lord is for your life? Well, I hope after the lesson tonight we will, and or at least be on the road too, because it's not a mystery. It's something that our verse here that we see in opening wants us to understand. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now that phrase, will of God, appears 23 times in the Bible. Will of the Lord, 2 times, so at least 25 times directly the Bible talks about the will of God or the will of the Lord. And there's many others where it speaks of this indirectly. Jesus said this in John chapter 4 and verse number 34. And I just want to make a point here. About three different wills. Again, this is not on your notes, so you might want to write this at the top somewhere. There is my will, God's will, and the devil's will. All right, and we're doing one of the three. At all times in our lives, we're doing one of the three. My will, God's will, or the devil's will. Let me just show you that in Scripture. Jesus said in John 4, 34, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. In other words, what He lives for, what He eats, is to do God's will. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. John 6:38, write that down. John 6:38, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. So notice there's my own will. There's the will of Him that sent me, that's the will of God. And Jesus said, I didn't come down to do my own will. There is such a thing as your own will. And then there is the will of God. And then finally, number three, there is the devil's will. There is the devil's will. We have an adversary, the devil. He has a plan for your life. And he captivates many people by it. In 2 Timothy 2, it says in verse 25 and 26, In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So you notice the devil's will in that. I don't know, but if I'm reading the context right, that is actually talking about believers. It's talking about believers. Now, we know, I'm going to show you in a minute here, all unbelievers are outside of God's will. But it's possible for a believer to become snared by the devil and taken captive by him at his will. He's got these traps set for us. That's what the word snare means. And he traps us with certain things, and he takes us captive by him at his will. So he has a will. Anyway, let's get to the lesson now. The will of God. And those are just some preliminary observations. Someone anonymously once said, one life will soon be passed, only what is done for Christ will last. Now, in the light of that truth, doing and finding God's will for your life is paramount. It's just paramount. It's the most important thing. If the only thing from our lives that will last is what we do for Christ, then let's find out what He wants us to do. I mentioned earlier that the will of God is mentioned 23 times in the Bible. The will of the Lord is mentioned twice, about 25 times directly. We learn that there is such a thing as God's will or God's plan for our life. The last time it's mentioned is in 1 John 2:17, and let's read what that says. We have it on our notes. It says this, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, in the light of that truth, the will of God becomes extremely important. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, this is talking about what I call the second salvation. The first salvation is the salvation of your soul. That's when you receive and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the Lord saves your soul and preserves your soul forever. But there's something else besides your soul that the Lord wants to save, and that is your life. For instance, Jesus said when he walked the earth, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So there's the salvation of your soul, there's the salvation of your life. The salvation of your life is referring to the life that you live down here on earth, that you live in the light of eternity and in the will of God. Everything that you do in the will of God in your life, from the moment you're saved until the rapture, or your death, my death, everything you do for God will be remembered, and that part of your life will be preserved and remembered in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But from the moment you're saved to the rapture or your death, whatever we do for ourselves will be forgotten and never remembered again. Many verses in the Bible talk about how there'll be eventually no remembrance of the things of this earth and the things that are done in this life. For instance, Isaiah 65 and verse 17 says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. And so the things of this earth are someday going to be forgotten. We're never going to remember the things of this earth, nor will they come into mind, except what we did in the will of God. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In Ecclesiastes 1, in verse number 11, there is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. And there's other verses in the Bible that seems to indicate that God is going to just take a great eraser someday and just wash our minds of any remembrance of this sinful, wicked, vile earth, except for what a person has done in his life in the will of God. All of that information, I believe, from my studies, is transferred to a book called the Book of Life, a book of remembrance, as the Book of Malachi calls it. A book of remembrance. And so what you do or what I do for God in God's will is put into a book of remembrance, and then that part of our lives is remembered forever and ever and ever. Now, if that's true, just think how much of your life is going to really last in eternity. Now, your soul, that's preserved forever. But how much of your life will be remembered for all of eternity? Everything else will be forgotten. So a successful believer is one who finds out what God wants him to accomplish in his life and then fulfills it. That is the best definition of success. Success is doing what God wants you to do. Only that will last for eternity. So really think this through, the difference between your soul and your life. The salvation of your soul is eternal. The salvation of your life is conditional based on whether you did it for the Lord with the right motive or just did it for yourself. I like to give this illustration. I don't like to give this illustration, but I think it helps people understand. When I was about 18 years of age, I got saved when I was around 12, 13, and tried my hardest to live for God during my teen years. I did a lot of it in the flesh. I didn't know about the Holy Spirit and the grace of God and all those other wonderful benefits that are there to give us power. When I was 18, I just quit, and I began to live what we would call today a backslidden life, and that's an Old Testament term. Carnal is the New Testament term, and for 3 years, I walked away from God, the Bible, the church, fellowship, and so on and so forth, and gave my life over to wickedness and to sin for 3 years. And then I came back to the Lord, rededicated my life to the Lord at a missions conference. Now, I believe that when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, all of my good works will be thrown into one big fire, a God's refining fire in heaven. And the Bible says that of my life, which is described in the scriptures as being wood, hay, or stubble, will be burned up in the fire. But gold, silver, and precious stones, that of my life which was eternal, that I gave to the Lord, will abide the fire. Then when the ashes all settle, the Lord's going to look to see what's left of my life, and we are going to receive rewards for what is left of my life. Now, you can read that in 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 15. That's not on your notes again. I believe those 3 years of my life will be forgotten and never remembered again. There'll be no mention of them. There'll be no reward for them. They are eternally wasted. Eternally wasted. How many years of your life have you eternally wasted? I hope not any. But those were years I lived for myself, my will, and I was probably taken captive by the devil at his will, believe me. And nothing, absolutely nothing, will I ever have to show for those 3 years of my life. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What I've done since then, or in God's will and in the right motive, that will be remembered forever and ever and ever. There's a quote down here, "My greatest fear was that I would succeed in that which was not important." That was a quote by Dr. Clayton Shumpert, and I think it fits into this study on the will of God. "My greatest fear was that I would succeed in that which was not important." And this fear motivated Dr. Clayton Shumpert to give his whole life to Christ. And in his case, it was God's concealed will that we'll get to in a minute for him to be a missionary. And now he's a director of missions. I think he's still alive. I know he's really up in years. And he has directed a lot of missionaries and got people onto the field, and he's done eternal things, and these things will last forever. I mean, simple things like the Bible says giving a cup of cold water to a thirsty soul, a child or something, just in the name of a disciple, that person will not lose their reward. So the Lord is looking at what we're doing with our life. And he's making a record of it. He's writing all the time. And so do the will of God. And let's have the same fear that Clayton Shumpert had early in his life, that he would succeed at that which was not important. Can you imagine just being and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but can you imagine somebody being the greatest basketball player ever, the greatest hockey player ever, the greatest football player ever, whatever it might be, or the greatest, rock star or movie star or something like that, and then just someday that's all forgotten, never remembered again. Never, ever remembered again. What a waste. Let us not succeed in that which is not important. Find God's will. Now then, the will of God for your life is in two parts. You must do the first part to find the second. I don't know if you want to do this, but you can circle the word do and the word find in that statement. You must do the first part to find the second. Now, the will of God is this. They are the first revealed will of God, and second, the concealed or hidden will of God. Let's look at the revealed will of God. Number one, the revealed will of God is not found. It is done. You do it. You don't find it, you do it. We do not sit around and say, boy, I'm looking for God's will. No, there is a part of God's will called the revealed will of God. It's not found. You just do it. Now, notice this statement. The revealed will of God is the same for every believer on the earth. It's the same for you. It's the same for me. The revealed will of God is the same for every believer on the earth. It includes, but it is not limited to. Now, as I took the phrase, the will of God, I found a bunch of things down here. I've numbered them A through J, that these are specifically called the will of God. Four times I found, first of all, A, that it's God's will that you be saved. If you're here this evening and you're not saved, you are not in God's will. It is God's will for you to be saved. Let me read some of these verses. Now, I'm not going to read all these verses. You've got to do some of this at home. But in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, that's one. The other one's Matthew 18, 14. I think I can quote it. Says, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It's not God's will that one of these little ones, he's talking about children. All right, how many of you were ever a child? We're all children. It's not God's will that one single child perish. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men saved? Who will, W-I-L-L, who will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus said this in John chapter 6 and verse number 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, the second thing we're supposed to do, and these are not in the list of importance or anything, the first one is, but we're supposed to give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If we are complainers, we're not in God's will. All right, if we're whiners, we're not in God's will. At least in this area, we're not in God's will. We should be thankful, and it says in everything, when we're going through hard times or when we're going through easy times. C is the most general of them, well-doing or good works. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 15 tells us that doing well or well-doing is the will of God. And I'll read this to you, and then we'll give some illustrations. And for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now here's some of the more basic commands of good works, such as Bible study, prayer, church involvement, giving, witnessing, but also other things like forgiving, living by the golden rule, being honest. These things, remember what we said earlier, the revealed will of God is the same for every believer on the earth. It is God's will for you to study the Bible as much as it is for me to study the Bible. It's God's will for you to live by the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, as it is for me. It is God's will for you to be honest as it is for me to be honest. Someone once said there's about 200 commandments in the New Testament. I don't know. But they would all fit in under C. Suffering. Well, we like to avoid this part of God's will. But yet it has a purpose. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 17, it tells us suffering. For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Chapter 4. Verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit themselves, their souls to him as in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Why? Because suffering is one of the tools that God picks up and uses on our life, chisels away on our life to make us look like Jesus Christ, conform to his image. He perfects us with a tool called suffering, and we need to yield to that as God's will. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. This answers the question, why do good people suffer? God's trying to make them perfect, trying to establish them, trying to strengthen them, trying to settle them down. And it makes us more like the Lord. And so suffering. I'll go through these others a little quicker here. To avoid lust and be sanctified, especially abstaining from fornication. That's mentioned twice, 1 Peter 4, verse 2, 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse 3. We should abstain from fornication. If you've fornicated in the past, ask God to forgive you and live a life of holiness. But our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Let's be careful. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Submission to government. As long as they don't ask us to do anything illegal, immoral, or unseemly. Total consecration to God. Some of you know these verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. To be eternally secure. He doesn't want us to doubt. Deliverance from evil. That's God's will. Boy, isn't that nice. Galatians 1, 4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And then to be like Christ. Now, this is what's called the revealed will. You don't go to the concealed will of God until you first of all try to obey the revealed will of God. The revealed will of God is a sacred trust. It's the same for all of you. A through J is something all of you need to do. It's in God's will. I need to do. It's not a mystery. It's in black and white. The revealed will of God. But then notice number two on the next page. There is the concealed will of God. After we have been faithful with the revealed will of God, then God will trust us to know his concealed or hidden will. And this is where Christianity gets special and individualized. This is where you kind of take a different journey than I take. The other things we all do, but here is where, you know, God leads us in different directions. But the key is to be faithful with the revealed will of God, so God looking down from heaven watching you can say, hey, he or she's been faithful with the revealed will. I think I can trust him or her with my concealed will. Now, that's where a lot of people blow it. They sit around in church pews waiting for God to show them his will when they don't do the known will of God. And what we should do is just forget about the concealed will of God and just do what is known until he shows us something. Now, here's some examples, but they're not limited to these. A, which of the spiritual ministry gifts is mine, and what ministry should I exercise them in? As you're doing God's will, God will show you what your ministry gift is. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, talks about the preacher, the server, the teacher, the consoler, the giver, the organizer, and the comforter. Those are seven gifts. There's only one calling, but there's many gifts. And God has gifted all of us. There is no such thing as a saved person that God has not given a gift to. Every one of us has at least one spiritual gift, and eventually he shows us what that is, he reveals us what was once concealed or hidden, and says, this is your gift. You know, for me, it's mainly a preacher and an organizer, those two. And for some of you, it may be a server. You just God just prompts you whenever there's a banquet or a ministry, vacation, Bible school, something like that. You're just the type that are just prompted to serve. Where can I serve? What can I do? I heard about a bunch of people that came down yesterday making props for daily vacation Bible school. And it's just something that God shows you. This is what you do. You serve. Other people are counselors. They have the wisdom to go to somebody one-on-one where maybe the pastor doesn't have the time or something. Others need to be teachers. Others are organizers. My, oh, my. Thank God for the organizers in this church, in many cases, whom God has given brilliant minds to, and they can put this ministry together, finances together, legal matters together, and reports together, and so on and so forth. But what is yours? That's the concealed will of God. Eventually we know. Say, it's not concealed anymore. Another example might be, who should I marry? Should I get married? If you're faithful doing God's will, I think God will trust you with a good mate. C, an example could be this. Should I be in the ministry? As an evangelist, a missionary, a pastor or something, some capacity? Should I be in the ministry? And there's examples here where, according to the will of God, let me just read one of them. I got about six of them down here, I think, or five, where Paul said, listen how Paul described it. Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. What's an apostle? A missionary. By the will of God. Now, was that always, did Paul always know that? When did Paul discover God wanted him to be a missionary? Anybody remember the historical setting? What's that? Well, that's kind of where he came to know the Lord as his Savior through that. He was a very, very faithful man. He ended up being a prophet and a teacher in the church at Antioch in Acts 13. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereto I sent him. And that's when he found out the concealed will of God for his life, to be an apostle or a missionary. And how did that happen? Here it is, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. See, he was just being faithful from Damascus when he got knocked down until the time he was in that church at Antioch. He was just being faithful, doing the revealed will of God, and then God showed him, I want you to be a missionary. He took at least three tremendous missionary journeys, planted churches all over the place. Should I be in the ministry? Here's another one. What should I do for my occupation? Well, I think that's something God wants to be involved in, that decision. Should I go to college? I think that's something God wants to be involved in. Where should I serve the Lord? Paul talked about the will of God leading him to different places, as I just quoted from Acts 13. And he talked about, I want to come to you, Romans 1:10, by the will of God. You don't just jump out of your church and go to somewhere else or something like that unless God leads you in his perfect will. So I hope you understand that that's mainly the will of God in two parts. There's the revealed will of God. It's the same for you as it is for me. We all need to do it. And then there's the concealed will of God, something very, very, very special that God has for your life to do inside of the church, to do in the world as an occupation, to do in your family, maybe marriage, maybe have children, be a mother. That's your high calling, and boy, what a high calling that is. But I want to make a few more observations before we close. Number three, what about the permissive will of God? This is not in the Bible. It's just an expression that is used to describe someone who has, for instance, come to Christ quite late in their life, or maybe has committed some disqualifying sin or some consequences of a decision that's made. And they're never going to really be in what Paul said to the Romans, the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. And so we've come up with an expression that I think is based on some other scriptures called the permissive will of God. And what that means is if a person disqualifies themselves from the perfect will of God, I mean, I think you'd all agree with me that it would be God's perfect will that everybody on earth gets saved when they're a child and then gives the rest of their life to the Lord. Okay? But somebody doesn't and gets saved when they're 70. Well, praise God, they did one thing right, amen? They got saved. And the plan God had for them from eternity past will never be fulfilled, but maybe God will give them 2 more years to live, or 3 more years, or 5 more years, and they can really, really do something with that. But here's some examples of the permissive will of God. A believer, while not walking with God, gets married to an unbeliever. It happens. They must remain married to the unbeliever, 1 Corinthians 7:12 through 15, with the hopes that maybe they'll save their unsaved mate. Now, I know people like this, and we've had people in our church like this too that just come up to me and say, Pastor, I was backslidden, I was away from God, I married this man, he's an unbeliever, I married this woman, she's an unbeliever, what should I do? And I always tell them, remain faithful to your vows. You may reach this soul for Jesus Christ. Do the revealed will of God. You can do as much of that on page one as possible. And at least go to heaven saying, I did some of God's will. Be a minister is involved in an egregious, immoral, or illegal matter. He must resign and never hold office in the church again. Yet, he can still be a prayer warrior and a soul winner. Amen. Here's another example of the permissive will of God. A believer gets into mountains of debt, failing to direct his affairs by the counsel of God. Now, he may never know the liberty of that debt that God would have him know, Romans 13:8. But he can still struggle forward and begin to tithe and give offerings and pay his bills and work on his debts. They might be unable to enter the ministry or travel to a mission field, but they can be faithful in a church. I've seen people that God, they felt God was calling them to preparation for the ministry or to go to Bible college for preparation or something like that, but they're so far deeply in debt, forget it. It's not going to happen. But they can still be faithful in their church. And they can still work towards righting a wrong in their life that they've done financially. Now, last of all, just some basic observations about the will of God. Whether the revealed will of God, that's what everybody does, the concealed will of God, that's that special plan for God, God has for your life, that's different than mine, or the permissive will of God. That's for people who've messed it up and yet they can still do something for God. I mean, sadly, I've seen people in the permissive will of God just quit entirely. I mean, I've had a few people say, well, are you saying I can't be a pastor? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Then I quit. Why should I do anything? Well, because there's 100 other things you can do in the church. And you can do them greatly. And you can be very fruitful. And you can have much fruit that remains to the glory of God in eternity, but you maybe did something that disqualified you. So whether it's the revealed will of God, concealed will of God, or permissive will of God, God will reveal it one step at a time. How? By the Word of God, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. Man, we better be able to point to a verse, a chapter and a verse somewhere, when we are making decisions in our lives. We better be able to say, you know, God showed me right here, and this is how he led me by this verse right here, this verse or this principle. And the Holy Spirit used the Word of God to lead me. Keep in mind also that if God showed you his will all at once, it would overwhelm you and me, and probably none of us would answer it. It is so amazing and fantastic what God wants to do through all of you. You wouldn't believe it if he showed it to you tonight. I don't care who you are, how old you are. If you would start walking in the will of God today, it would just be so overwhelming what God is going to do through you that he does a favor to us by not showing us. Instead, it says in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, lamps were not spotlights or flashlights. They were something you carried in your hand that illuminated approximately your next two steps. That's all. We'd love God to give us a big divine spotlight, wouldn't we? But there's no such thing. We'd like to say, okay, let me put this thing down about 2 miles from here. See where I'm going. It's not how God is. God shows you about one or two steps at a time. And you got to take those two steps before the next step or two illuminates. And you got to take those two steps before the next step or two illuminates. Just think of those lanterns that people carried around at night. They only illuminated a little circle around them, and it just gave them enough light to make a couple steps. That is a picture. That lantern is a picture of the Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the revealed will of God is not something where God's going to say, okay, here's where you're going to be 2 miles down the road. No, it's God saying, here's the next step I want you to take right here. And here's the next step I want you to take right here. And the will of God is just a compilation of those steps as we just keep walking with the Lord and we get to where he wants us to be. Also, the will of God is not just doing what is revealed in the Word, but being what is revealed in the Word. If you think about it, if you understand that last statement, we probably all can think of someone who's doing the will of God, but they're certainly not being like a Christian. You understand what I just said? I mean, there's some people that can say, I read the Bible all the time, I pray, I go soul winning, I give tithes, and so on and so forth, but they're a lousy Christian. They have a lousy spirit about them, a lousy demeanor about them. They're sharp and nasty and harsh and so on and so forth. The will of God is not just doing. The will of God is also being what God wants us to be simultaneously, letting God change us. And so let's bow for a word of prayer. I'm going to have the piano players come. I think we're going to sing.